Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There were a lot of circumstances surrounding, the bit of adversity that our team went through there before the suspension of play. You know, we had a number of returning players coming off the injured list, coming back into our lineup. The trade deadline was right at the same time where we're trying to assimilate new players into our lineup.
And with that, let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan, live and local, at least I am, from our Greentree Studios. This is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole here with you to about 5:40 before the Fan morning show pre-show. And it's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. That the voice to start off the show today at 5:03 on a Wednesday morning. The head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Mike Sullivan. Maybe you forgot how his voice sounded. It's been a while since we've heard from these guys and since we've had, of course, game action. But him talking about the team before the halts, the stoppage to the season, and how they're working through things. He mentioned there the trade deadline and all the different factors and that went into them not playing so well. He went on to say that they were kind of turning the corner there with a win against New Jersey before everything stopped and what seemed like forever ago. It's almost weird as I hear that to hear Mike Sullivan talking about, well, actual hockey games being played and how his team could play if and when they actually get on the ice again this year. And more this thing goes on, the more weird it's going to sound because of all the news. And in particular, yesterday, it was a news release from the city of Toronto, and that's where I'll start today here on the early morning show. I'll start here and also get into some things that Kevin Colbert had to say yesterday. That's coming up later in the show. But from the city of Toronto yesterday, here's the release, part of it at least. It says, due to the COVID-19 pandemic and in response to the recent emergency order to prohibit organized public events and social gatherings of more than five people, the City of Toronto will cancel all city-led major mass participation events. So that includes festivals, conferences, and cultural programs, and all city permits for major mass participation events organized by external groups at civic centers and squares, parks, public spaces, including road closures, city-operated museums, and cultural centers through June 30th. So basically putting the halt on everything through June 30th, wiping out that entire month. Now, it just so happens, of course, that the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NHL all have teams based in Toronto and in Canada. So you would think that the leagues would not be able to start much until July 1st, unless they find some kind of workaround where they get those teams out of Toronto and have them work elsewhere, have them go to a neutral site or share facilities in a place that's more safe and that's not locked down. But for all intents and purposes, I don't think we're going to see much through June. And if Toronto has made this kind of proclamation, I would think that they aren't the only city that'll be thinking this way. It might be kind of a domino effect where some of the other cities hit harder here stateside. Seeing this timeline and seeing what Toronto has done will kind of follow suit. That's kind of how things have been throughout this whole thing, is that if one area, if one city, if one league makes a decision on something, normally the other leagues, and particularly if they're in the same situation, follow suit in it. So what does it mean for sports? What does pushing everything back to July really kind of look like? To me, it doesn't mean the end for the NBA or the NHL seasons, but it's awfully close. At the very least, if they want to continue these seasons and award a champion at the end, the next year will have to be impacted in a pretty major way, like cut in half major way. We're going to have some serious workarounds if we want to actually continue these seasons beyond what we've seen. That's the reality of it. And hearing Mike Sullivan talk about his team to begin the show today, it feels like forever ago that they were actually playing hockey. And it almost sounds kind of silly to talk about how the team was playing before this break. Because it'll be so long before they, if and when they do pick it back up, if they continue this season, it'll be so long that in between, since the last time they played a game. So, I mean, how can you take anything that the Penguins did before this into account? It's almost like hitting the reset button on everything. And there are still so many variables to this, so many questions to be answered. Like, if not every city is free to hold events or gatherings like Toronto right now, do you just avoid them? Have the teams of those cities in neutral sites or away venues? Is that a fair thing to do? You know, even though if not every area is ready to go, but maybe most of the country elsewhere is, do you get going with your league play? Is that really necessary? Is it fair? Probably not. And when Mike Sullivan says this, it really makes me think that it's more and more likely we're going to go straight into a postseason rather than, you know, kind of fiddle around with those last 10 games or so in the regular season, at least in the NHL.
I would imagine, depending on how long this goes, it would be somewhere in the time frame of 2 weeks, I would think, to give guys an opportunity to get back skating again, to get back involved with physical play and body contact and things of that nature that are required.
So they're talking about a 2-week mini camp potentially. And that, of course, you know, every week now is so crucial and important for when we can actually get things going and everything tightens up, and another 2 weeks there to get players back loose and skating again, I think that kind of eliminates what would make sense to continue on with a regular season, where you'd think you'd have 2 weeks to finish a regular season, but if it's going to take some time to ramp it back up again, maybe it's better to just go right into the playoffs. And we're just going to have to see how desperate the leagues and the players are to pick play back up again for this year. But I think it's doable. I really do. I don't think it's all gloom and doom. I don't think it's all that we won't see sports in the same way and we're going to have to cancel these seasons. I don't know. I'm not there yet. As I said before, to me, a deep summer of hockey where you play the postseason through August and into September, followed by a January 1st celebration of the new year and the new league year, that makes sense to me. Play until September, wait a couple weeks, start it back up January 1st. Have some Winter Classic games if you want. Play a 50-game or so regular season, which might end up being better in the long run anyway for the health of players and for the interest across the league. And keep the normal timeline to end that season. That works. That I'm very, very okay with. And the NBA could go and probably do something similar. I've heard picking it up again near Christmas. And that's kind of their big holiday, right? Where they showcase like 3 or 4 games on Christmas. And that's you know, kind of a big deal for the NBA, much like January 1st is for the NHL. And that might be the play. Maybe you just use those holidays as markers to start the next year. As celebration points, I guess. You know, go with your brand. Go with Christmas NBA new season. Go with Winter Classic, start of the year, January 1st, New Year's Day, start of the NHL season. That makes some sense. For Major League Baseball, if they do hold off until July, they're definitely going to be hard-pressed to get 100 games in. I mean, they'll have to do a lot of doubleheaders to get, you know, beyond 100 games. And who knows about that four-week ramp-up period that's been kind of floated out there for pitchers and what that means for the start of play. I've seen now on CBS Sports and a couple other places that a July 4th start to the year is seeming more and more logical. But I hope that happens with the NHL, though, that they do get started, because there's a lot at stake. Mike Sullivan mentioned yesterday that he agrees with Jim Rutherford that Jake Gensel could return, and that's kind of, again, another factor into this whole thing of picking back up again that, hey, the Penguins are about to get a huge chip back into the mix as well, if they can just get it back going. If play doesn't pick up again, it's no doubt a lost year for a cup window with Sid and Gino. And with Gensel coming back, it's more ammunition to the thought that this is another legitimate chance at a title. And that will be by the wayside. Hopefully, it's not just a footnote for a season that could have been. And something we'll have to account for when we look back at the history of the league or the history of the Pittsburgh Penguins or the history of Crosby and Malkin specifically and their legacies, that they lost a year along the way. But it seems like with things getting more and more squeezed, we're going to have to get way more creative with the things that we'll have to do to get things started. It seems like that is more of a reality every single day. And with this Toronto kind of news release and the news over the last 24 hours, that certainly points to that. All right, coming up next, a couple of things from yesterday you may have missed, including one guy who just missed a humongous opportunity, enormous opportunity to cash in. He missed out on that yesterday. Plus, Kevin Colbert did speak as well on a conference call with reporters, and I think there is one thing that he mentioned that is, and he didn't make it overblown, but one thing going on right now that's just being completely overblown, at least in my opinion. And I'll go over all of that next. It's the Early Morning Show. It's the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. Of course, in this middle segment of the show, we go over some things that you may have missed from yesterday, so let's do it.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
I will first start off with something that the NHL does every single year, and a little bit different this year because, well, there's nothing else going on, so maybe it gets a little bit more attention this year, but the NHL Players Association released yesterday the results of their annual player poll of more than 20 hockey-related questions that was conducted before the season shut down its season. Before the league shut down its season, that is. And the NHLPA said almost 600 players responded to this. And so you go through the results of these questions. And of course, Sidney Crosby is brought up a lot in these discussions. So he did finish a distant, and I mean distant, runner-up to Connor McDavid in the balloting for the NHL's best forward. It was 68.4% to Connor McDavid, and then just 14.9%, just about 15% for Sidney Crosby. So there is a huge, huge gap there between the two. But Crosby did get almost half the vote, 45.6%, for most complete player in the league. And that's was in front of Boston Bruins' Patrice Bergeron. He was second with 25.4%. And McDavid was not among the top four. So I don't know how to exactly, you know, I think this is kind of the players getting it right here. Because I think what we saw with Sidney Crosby this year is that he can show flashes of still being the best player on the planet, maybe for a stretch of 4 or 5 games. But the consistency of throughout the year, and I mean, Crosby's one of the most consistent players in the league, but at the highest level, I think he doesn't show that as much as he is later in his career now than maybe a Connor McDavid does. So if you're going to say NHL's best forward, okay, I guess I can give it that Connor McDavid is the best forward or the best player in the league right now. But I do agree that as far as most complete player, and he was voted as such, Sidney Crosby, by the players and by his peers around the league, that is definitely true. So I think they got them right here. I credit sometimes with these player polls, there's names that come out of nowhere that you're like, really? That's what the players think of this guy? But I think the NHL knows its guys and knows its league and got it right with Crosby and McDavid and their assessments of the both of them. So it's kind of interesting. And there's a bunch of other questions that, if you're interested in, Chris Adamski of The Trib wrote a story on in that NHL players poll. Elsewhere, the Browns. They're more AFC North teams, I guess, in on the free agency action. So yesterday they signed Adrian Claiborne, edge rusher from the Atlanta Falcons, to a 2-year, $6 million deal. It's worth potentially $7 million. That's according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. He had 18 tackles last year, 4 sacks in 15 games, his second stint with the Falcons. And the Browns just continue to kind of load up. The Ravens have loaded up on defense as well, and particularly in the defensive line. I think it's been really interesting to see what the division has done. With the Browns and the Ravens have both made an emphasis toward adding to the front lines. And of course the Steelers have as well, and getting Chris Wormley, so they're not alone and they're not getting passed up in this whole thing. But this is 2 straight off seasons now that the Browns have made some flashy moves. And that I'm not talking about Adrian Claiborne, but I'm mostly talking about, you know, going out and getting Austin Hooper, one of the best tight ends in the league, and gearing up again for another run at this thing, even though they've wiped clean their coaching staff and brought in a backup quarterback to Baker Mayfield that will probably be putting pressure on him all year and probably will create issues whenever Mayfield, if and when Mayfield doesn't play up to his potential, and it'll be just a drama fest over in Cleveland. But can't be ignored, I guess, the moves that the Browns and the Ravens are making. And maybe on paper, they look like better teams, especially Baltimore. But Cleveland's up for debate. But again, last year we saw that Cleveland may have been the better team, and they ended up 6-10. So there you go, to put it into perspective. And finally, I can't believe this. So Tom Brady, of course, goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and there is already a guy who wears number 12 in Tampa Bay, and that's Chris Godwin, a guy who caught, you know, a bunch of touchdowns last year, went over 1,000 yards, really had a great breakout season for Tampa Bay. And so Tom Brady comes over, and he just gives the number away. There is, according to CBS Sports, there was no transaction that took place between Chris Godwin and Tom Brady in exchange for the number 12. Godwin was simply expressing his respect for Brady as the reason why he wanted to give the 6-time Super Bowl champion his old number. Oh my gosh, what a missed opportunity there for Chris Godwin. I mean, he could have asked for just about anything in return for that number 12 from Tom Brady. I mean, Brady could have given him another house, and it would have been okay with all that money within that family and with everything, all the connections that Brady has, and yet he just gives away his number 12. Now, there is a bit of a sticky situation here in that, well, Brady is the one throwing him footballs next year, so he's got to, I guess, keep that relationship and that fact and factor in mind whenever he's doing his negotiations, but nothing? You got nothing for the number 12, Chris Godwin. Jeez. I definitely would have asked for for something from the guy with Tom Brady coming in. But, hey, maybe it'll be better in the long run that he didn't. All right, coming up next, something that I think as, you know, we react to anything and everything right now during these times because, well, there's not a whole lot going on. But I think this is being way, way overblown. And I'll go over that next. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 527 on this Wednesday morning. Fan morning show on the way after this, with the pre-show starting at 540. Of course, you know that. Colin Dunlap from his house, Chris Mack from his house, Jim Colony updates from his house. And that has become the standard now. I'm, of course, the lone wolf here in our Green Tree Studios still to this point. 8 o'clock today, Ray Fittipaldo, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he came out with a mock draft a couple days ago. Does great work there. He'll join the show at 8 o'clock today to talk about that and many other things in the Steelers offseason. Then at 8:27 today, Pitt coach Jeff Capel joins the show to talk about, well, we already heard him talk about the transfer of Trey McGowan's and kind of the fallout from that, but the NCAA making the eligibility rules and just a bunch of other things to go on and kind of wrapping up his second season as the head coach of the Pitt Panthers. So that'll be at 8:27 today on the Fan Morning Show, so be listening for that. But before that, of course, there's one thing that I think is being just completely blown out of proportion. And again, as I mentioned before going into this segment, we react to everything, we see everything now because there isn't a whole lot to see in the sports world. But this draft being changed, at least from the Steelers' perspective, and how, you know, things are going to look different in the run-up to it, is reached that point now where it's just a bigger story than I think it needs to be or should be. So the narrative is surrounding this draft is that teams are going to be able to, or not going to be able to get the same information. That it's not going to be the same and having to, and going and visiting these teams and these prospects. They won't be able to get the same feel for what's out there. They won't be able to sit down and have a dinner with them and talk with their, you know, them and their coaches and their moms and their dads and their brothers and sisters and their training staff and all these different things. And I understand that's part of the process. And it may even make a difference sometimes. And particularly with the Steelers over the years. I think they value the personal interactions maybe more than other organizations do. They make sure this guy isn't a complete whack job and that he's not going to, you know, be on the south side every night, and we're going to have to worry about whether or not he's going to be, you know, arrested or if he's going to show up to practice the next day. And Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, when he was on the Fan Morning Show yesterday, confirmed that is a big deal for teams. I get it. That's not something to be kind of tossed aside. But I think it would also be foolish to think that preparations for this draft didn't start like immediately after the last draft ended. Like, this isn't something that they just thought about, you know, a month ago or even, you know, 2 months ago and said, oh, hey, yeah, the NFL draft's in April. I guess we should start preparing for that. You got to start visiting and talking with people. No, like, this has started all the way back to, you know, last off season and over the fall. And it's kind of like, it's like a college coach. I mean, the recruiting process never really ends. It's always kind of the joke of, you know, that coach that wins the national championship. He always says, wow, yeah, we're going to enjoy this for a couple days, and then we're going to get right back out there on the recruiting trail, and we're going to start this thing back up again. It never ends. It's a repeating cycle. It's the same here. It's not like this is blind drafting going on here for the Steelers and for any NFL team. And whether or not they could anticipate something like this happening, this shutdown, and let's be honest, nobody could have anticipated this happening, you know, a month or so ago. But they're all in the same place. And they're all dealing with it in the same ways. And Kevin Colbert said in part yesterday on a conference call with reporters that he doesn't have any complaints so far, that everything has been going well. with how they've communicated, how they prepared. He said in part, quote, "We've done our evaluations through the fall. Between the scouts and myself, we probably had 3 or 4 looks at all the top prospects. Once the season was over, we get the coaches involved, and they've been involved. We're missing the pro days, and we're missing the personal interviews and visits we'd be doing, but we've been in meetings for a week and a half, and the meetings have been going great." So there you go. It's not like it's pro days or bust here, or that you don't know what they're really about. I think we've got to kind of remember that it's the year 2020. There's never been more ways to watch film or to contact people. I mean, if these times show us anything, it's that there are many ways, many different platforms that we can still speak to people and even see their faces. You know, video, audio, conference calls, whatever. That's the prospects themselves, meeting with them, or the people around them. The coaches, the trainers, the teammates, the moms, the dads, whoever. And with the Steelers, it's probably a decent year to have traded away that first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick. I mean, regardless of him actually being a playmaker last year and it looking good in that aspect, beyond just that, it's that is when the pressure is on the most with your first-round pick, is you can't screw that one up. More so than any other pick, especially if it's, you know, within the first half, I guess, of that first round. You can't miss with that guy. But with the Steelers, they already have later picks this year. And once you get outside the top 100, and they only have, you know, one pick within the top 100 this year at number 49 in that second round, then you tend to be much more hit and miss anyway. Once you get past those top 100 players, you get past the second round and that propensity for the boom or bust prospect kind of goes through the roof. And I don't know if a pro day or if, you know, having a sit down face to face in person meeting or dinner with a guy is really going to be the difference maker there. So I know these times call for us to react to anything and everything, but for this one, for me, it's reached the point where it's been overblown, and particularly with this team. And I don't think there's any doubts with, you know, across the league or within the fan base that the Steelers will be okay in dealing with these kinds of things, because I think the track record has been there draft-wise under Kevin Colbert and under Mike Tomlin, where they haven't had years where they've just completely had it washed away. They've at least been able to salvage a couple of picks from each draft class. And if you look, especially on the defensive side of the ball, it's been years of drafting the right dudes and then making an impact. And so it should be more of the same here, regardless of travel restrictions or anything of that of the such. All right, a question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show. If you have any conversations with, well, anybody outside of, you know, coworkers today or close family, and maybe you can talk to them about it as well. A conversation starter here with this question. And going back to the last segment, if you were Chris Godwin, if you were a top receiver on a team that has now inherited Tom Brady, and you were wearing number 12, and he comes to you and says, "Hey, man, what'll it take for number 12? What would you ask for? Would it be a watch? Would it be a signed jersey, a new car, a new house? Or would it be nothing like Chris Godwin did?" Apparently, you know, I don't know if I even believe these reports. It's got to be something. It's got to be at least a jersey swap or something at this point. But would you really ask for nothing from Tom Brady for it to give up the number 12? All right, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Join Sun for the American Red Cross Blood Drive. That's April 6th from 10 to 3. You can go to sunchevy.com for details and appointments. Today, mostly cloudy and a high of 50, so more of the same really today. And then tonight, cloudy with the shower and a low of 41. The pre-show, it's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.